This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Going to launch a three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
All right, WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that began way back in 1979 when the station signed on sunny skies on this Saturday morning at the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo. 9:01, temperature of 43 degrees, as they say today. Get out the baseball and softball mitts, right? As I think a week from Monday, baseball and softball games can be played. All right, our high school basketball season on this radio station concluded last night as Macomb knocked off Rockridge 54-38. The Bombers move on to the 2A Super Sectional on Monday night. A great effort by them. I was bummed. I wanted to broadcast the game from that venue in downtown Springfield, the Bank of Springfield Center. I think they used to call it the Prairie Convention Center or whatever back in the day. But, you know, Macomb played Ty Taylor nearly flawless basketball, I thought, last night.
Yeah, I mean, 9 of 12 from 3. Coach Harris said it on the post game last night. You know, 75% they shot from beyond the arc. You know, overall, I mean, we don't have the stats in front of us from, like, their field goal percentage overall, but I would say, I mean, what'd you think, like 65-plus percent from the field? It felt like they did not miss from the second quarter on. And you just look, you know, they got production up and down the lineup. Drew Watson, their sophomore point guard, averages 6.5 a game. He had 16, 4-for-4 from 3, 4-for-4 from the free throw line. The Conley kid off the bench, Malachi Conley, 6.5 points a game. He finished with 11, 3 threes, 3 of 3 from beyond the arc, and he had a great basket at the rim when he got fouled by Baylen Lehmans, too. And then the rest of their players that play, you know, Doyle had 9. He was in foul trouble. Case with 9, 7 for Holthouse, and then Hobson with 2 off the bench. His only basket gave them their first lead of the night at 22-20. And we talked about it last night, too. It felt like, you know, the first half for Rock Ridge went really well. And it was surprising when you look up and see they're losing. They got out of such a great start, 7-0, up 16-11 at the end of the first, up 17-11 when Doyle gets his second foul. Deion Doyle, their leading scorer at 15 points per game. Doyle sits out for the final 7 minutes of the second quarter, and trailing 17-11, the Bombers outscore Rock Ridge the rest of the second quarter 16-5 with him on the bench at 27-22. I don't think the Rockets ever got it within one possession in the second half. And, you know, Macomb, he just kept making shots and making shots and making shots. And I said, you know, it kind of felt like the opposite of the sectional championship game last year when Rock Ridge just couldn't miss against Princeton, where this year kind of the flip side happened to them with Macomb just having their night of the season, you know. Maybe not their night of the season. That was probably on Wednesday against Manuel, but what an offensive performance from Macomb last night.
So Macomb was what from the free throw line last night?
5 of 7.
Yeah, so they shot 19 of 22 for the week, 14 of 15 Wednesday night. The difference of that game last night was the 7 minutes of the second quarter when Doyle got a second foul and went to the bench, and they went from a deficit to being up by 5 at halftime, and you know. That's what I told Coach Harris, too, when we were talking on the post-game show. They not only had the lead at halftime, but they had the momentum. And the other big thing is, you know, they played from behind Tuesday night down 18 against Manuel. And they played from behind last night. I mean, they got down 7-0. And I thought, well, you know, after the 7-0 start, I really thought Rockridge was going to roll them. Because it's like, well, they've lost the magic. The Wednesday game doesn't mean anything anymore because that game's over. But, man, did they respond. And I tell you, their execution last night in the half court was flawless. And I think one of the things, and you said it, I think, when you were doing the pregame with Coach Anderson on yesterday here in the morning or in the afternoon, getting ready for the game, he said something about, you asked him, you know, processing it, how did you do it? And he goes, we were trying to figure out how to just get a pass because they were so overly aggressive denying the passing lanes. And I think maybe, you know, not only winning that game was big, but just playing against that defense probably maybe was the best practice they could have had all week. They really last night, I thought they're... The only really mistake that stood out for me last night was that fast break where Case had the ball, and I think they could have went up 11 or 13, and it slipped out. I thought it was going to be an uncontested layup, slipped out of his hands, and the Rockets got it back, and I thought, well, this is the break Rockridge needed. That's the only mistake I remember last night.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, speaking about what you're talking about with them playing manual, I mean, and Coach Anderson said it too, he's like, that is the fastest team defensively I've ever coached against. And, you know, you watch them play, and you can watch them play, you know, on video or whatever, but in person, I mean, it is unbelievable how fast and quick they are, and they pressure the ball, all five guys. I mean, that, to me, is one of the best defensive high school teams I've ever seen. And, you know, like you just said, it felt like, for McComb, at least I think, that, you know, no matter who they see now, nothing defensively that anybody does is going to compare to what Manuel did. I mean, and we know Rockridge defensively so great year in, year out, but, I mean, they don't have the athletes that Manuel does. It just is the fact of the matter. And, you know, nobody else can pressure the ball the way Manuel does because nobody has that team speed, team quickness, and, like, the instincts those kids have. Such a basketball school. Those are such basketball players at Manuel that, like, you know, they're super aggressive, but I kept saying it on Wednesday on our broadcast, they're super disciplined too. Like, they're really rarely out of position. And for McComb to come back from down 18 to them, you know, I know they got down 7-0 early, but like that too, that experience, you know, where you can look at it yourself and say, okay, if we were down 18 to Manuel in the second half and came back and won, there's no deficit that's gonna, you know, scare us now. So, you know, those kids have gained a ton of experience, a ton of postseason experience over the span of, you know, 2 days. And now I think McComb, I would say, is probably the favorite in that super sectional game against Williamsville on Monday night. And I know they had a stretch in early December where they lost 3 games in a row to Farmington, Kewaunee, and Mercer County. And I know that, you know, in that game they weren't at full strength. I think they didn't have all top 7 of their guys. It was a different, like, group of guys who are missing each game. But after that, for them to then, and now it's 21 of 23 games they've won, and one of the losses they avenged with Rockridge last night. What a run this team has been on. And we didn't mention it last night on the broadcast, but we talk about how good, you know, defensively McComb is. Their best defender and probably best natural athlete on last year's team was a junior by the name of JT Jeter, whose dad was the former Western Illinois men's coach, and he got a new job in Utah, so he moved away. Or he still would have been a part of this team, and he was a really good basketball player, just a standout football player, but he was a great athlete and a basketball player, where if you put him on this McComb team, you're talking about maybe the favorite to win the state title. I think they still, I mean, you're a contender if you're in the Elite Eight, but if you add that kid to this team that's already doing what they're doing, I mean, you'd take a seven-man rotation to an 8-man rotation, you got another really quality player. So credit McComb, you know, dealing with that loss and still getting this point in the season. Really impressive job by Coach Anderson.
Yeah, by the way, that was Coach Anderson. His 300th win occurred in that game last night, which is crazy.
Pretty solid week for him.
With the week. And so the other thing, it was on our, he was on our post game last night. We talked to him. And I thought it was great where, you know, I thought he really did a great job of describing how he, you know, took in the moment. And I think sometimes you forget and you can't, because how the basket, how you traverse through the postseason in basketball, you don't have time to really process some of these unbelievable moments that they've had this week. I mean, when you talk about Wednesday, what they did in processing that, and then last night, you know, winning that game and going to the Elite Eight, and he said he was, you know, just basically taking a moment to soak it in, and his mom said, hey, what's the matter with you, you know? And he said, I'm just soaking this thing in. And I thought that was so awesome, and it's a guy that had dealt with some health issues and had to miss some games, and you realize maybe how, you know, precious some of these moments can be after you get something like that taken away. And I think Deion Doyle's such a great story. Yeah. You know, a kid that
really
had some issues early in his career at Macomb, and one of the things that happened to him, he was supposed to play a game at Mercer County. This is a couple of years ago. They were playing in Aledo, and Coach Anderson said, hey, he got in trouble right as the bus arrived and is not with the team anymore. And then come back, and Coach Anderson said about what a leader he is, and you see how he plays, man. Yep. So that's what I'm saying, man. They're youngsters and teenagers, and like Coach Anderson said, you have to guide them, you have to teach them, you have to coach them, you have to love them. And that's what he did, and I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, now, interscholastic athletics, that's what it's about, right, is helping kids grow and in whatever, you know. It's not really about the sport at the end of the day. It's about, and Coach Anderson said that, you know, we want our kids to leave this program in the best position to succeed, you know, in the future. And for, you know, Deion Doyle, like you said, he's missed some games for different reasons throughout the past couple of years. But, you know, this week he had two remarkable games against really good teams. Yeah. And he led them back against Manual. And, you know, I'm just so happy for a kid like that where, like you said, it's kids, right? And to get him, you know, to him get back into the situation and get another chance to play for Macomb, he's made the most of it. And like Coach Anderson said, he just raved about how much he's matured and grown as a person over the years in high school. And another great night for him last night. And the Bombers on to the Super Sectional. So congrats to Deion Doyle. I know everybody's really happy for him. And he gets to play in the Super Sectional on Monday. Really cool.
Yeah, and credit to – I thought Macomb's fan base was awesome last night, and so was Rock Ridge's. And you know, they call that gym the Alice Ingersoll Gymnasium. I'm glad it's the first time I got a broadcast down there, a facility that was built in 1930 specifically for basketball, perfect size for small school basketball. It's a, you know, modified micro Wharton Fieldhouse, micro Homer Musgrove Fieldhouse. So the other thing I was thinking about last night, and, you know, the IHSA continues to say it, that it's not if, but when we talk about shot clock. So I think it's too late that it's going to be next year. You know, we've seen it experimentally at some of these shootouts and tournaments. It was at Western Illinois University. Me, again, I'm going to say, and just because of these type of games in the postseason, I don't want it, you know, because people will say, well, you know, would that have impacted last night's game? I don't know. But I just think in terms of possession basketball, if you're not trying to bleed the clock, and I don't think Macomb was, their possessions were forcing Rock Ridge to they were basically hanging onto the ball patiently to make Rock Ridge play defense for a long time. And they weren't, you know, running. They weren't. Their just possessions were long possessions, trying to find the easiest shot possible.
And that's difficult to do.
I know it is. And that's why I told Coach Anderson and the kids that followed that game plan to perfection last night of how crisply they move the ball. And I think that maybe impacted a little gas in the tank late in the game for Rock Ridge because of the solid possessions that they had and forcing Rock Ridge to play so much defense last night in the half court.
Well, and you know, you talked about those lengthy possessions they had, and they just had six turnovers, and they possessed the ball for a long time. And really, the sixth turnover came in the final minute, I think, with their reserves. And so really it was five during the course of, like, the game when it was, you know, being contested throughout the night. And I just, on both ends of the floor, Macomb was just incredible last night. They played so well. And, I mean, that's a team that you talk about wanting to put it together at the right time. I mean, this postseason, you know, and I feel like an idiot because remember when we did that stupid postseason seeding thing a couple weeks ago, and I was like, oh, Macomb should be seeded fourth. What a joke that was. But then, like, you know, the following week, though, when I was talking with some coaches between the seeding in the brackets coming out, it was like, because that was the week Macomb beat Rock Falls and then destroyed IBC. And I was like, you know, I feel like that Macomb is the team I would want to stay away from the most. And basically the people I talked to agreed with me, where they're like, yeah, they're playing kind of out of their minds right now, and the confidence level they have to have. And, you know, you can just tell right now those kids, like last night, they just kept firing and they kept going in. And sometimes I guess it just takes, you know, to see one or two go in and then everybody catches fire. And I think, you know, what kind of jump-started them was that banked in three against Manuel that the Bishop kid threw in. And since then, it's like they haven't missed a shot, you know, and it's just as like, and that's how it goes. And, you know, Rock Ridge has had so many games like that over the years where it's like they could just do no wrong. And Macomb last night, everything they did worked. I mean, they didn't do one wrong thing last night. And,
I think the one wrong, they did do one wrong thing. And like I told Coach Anderson, the wrong thing they did is Doyle got two fouls.
Yeah, that's
so,
it.
So I said, draw up this week on how to get to the Elite Eight. Get down 18 to Manuel, right? And you win. So you know, the key to that game, you got to get off to an early start against a team like that. They didn't do that. They got down 18-1. Got down 18 in the second half. Then the sectional title game, have your best player get two fouls early, sit him down for 7 minutes in the first half, and get down 7-0.
Yeah.
And win. So they won. That's what I'm saying, how crazy.
Which, yeah, like we said earlier, they were down 6 when he went out, and then when he came back in the third quarter, they were up 5.
Yeah.
11-point swing. Crazy.
Well, and you look at Rock Ridge now, you know, another great year for them, and they lose two seniors, you know, especially one that has logged a lot of minutes for 4 years that is, I'm not going to say under the radar, but just a steady player, a common denominator for that program for 4 years.
He's a winner.
Carson Clumby, that's right.
He's a winner is what he
and
is.
And he was tasked again last night with playing on the best player that Macomb had, and he did that on Tuesday night against Peoria Notre Dame. So that's a big piece of the puzzle they're missing. And then, of course, I thought T.J. Wilson had a great senior year, and they really tried to establish him in a lot of games this year.
He was losing. Those are two big losses. I know they bring back a lot of talent with the three juniors, but Wilson was maybe the most improved player in the area from year over year, from, you know, his junior year to his senior this year. And, you know, like we said about Clemmie, he does everything well. There's not a weakness to his game, I don't think. And he's just so steady, so smart. He's always in the right spot. And they'll really miss those two kids without a doubt.
All right. So the other thing, and we're up against a break here momentarily, and I said it last night to both Coach Harris and Coach Anderson after the game. The one thing that I like about the postseason basketball, when you get to this kind of level and the crowds build, I thought just last night, I tell people like that it's the roar of the crowd. So like when Macomb scores a basket, it's the roar of the crowd. And like when Rock Ridge scores a basket, it's the roar of the crowd. And I just kind of love that atmosphere and engaged student sections and, you know, a lot of people in the gym, and every possession matters. You just kind of feel that moment. So that's, for me, the definition of the March Madness experience is always the levels at the regional and the sectional and the super sectional leading up to the state tournament.
Well, I think
those rounds are so much more fun to follow.
I think the best game of the year every year is the sectional championship, because it's normally the last game you play in a high school gym. Two, it's normally two schools that are local-ish, so you know each other, and it's normally not too bad of a drive for either school to get there. So you add all of those factors in, and it normally is, there's no seats to be had anywhere. And it's just a completely packed, great atmosphere. When you look at the sectional title games over the past few years that Rock Ridge has played in, we had the game last night with Macomb. We had the game last year with Princeton. I've never seen anything like that. That Princeton-Rock Ridge game last year is something that, you know, if you were there and got to experience it, you'll never, ever forget that. That was one of the greatest, like, atmospheres I've ever seen for a high school sporting event. The sectional round is so special, too, because it's just a full week. You get one game Tuesday, one game Wednesday, one game Friday with basically the four best teams in the area that you're in. And that's what we got this week in Canton, and you talked about earlier the gym there, Alice Ingersoll Gymnasium, is amazing. You should go and watch a game there if you get a chance to. And it was run perfectly. The people at Canton were great. The AD, Brad Hewlett, did an incredible job. It was run great. Everything went smoothly, and just, you know, it was a perfect setting for that. And two great games in the semifinals, and then, you know, a really fun game with a fun atmosphere on Friday for the championship. A great week of basketball. Even though the Rockets came up short, I think it was a fun week had by all in Canton. So thanks to those guys over there. Great job by them.
They had Jimmy John's on Tuesday night. They had a taco bar on Wednesday night. And last night they had like some local restaurant with
chicken.
Yeah. Chicken.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, and then, you know, traveling three times this week to Canton from Aledo. So I got to know Illinois Route 97. So you always drive through Maquon and Rapetee and eventually through Fairview, and then get down. I think you take a left at Illinois Route 9.
You go by the Spoon River Valley School District.
That's right.
Yep.
Right, on 116.
By all their schools. Yep.
And then we hit a raccoon last night, so WJ Albertson has to take care of that with a station car.
And we had our last basketball broadcast ever last night after that, probably. So.
All right, we have more to talk about. I want to run down some of the scores from around the state and much more. Then, pretty awesome. We're talking to, so I think this is one of the years where we're really fortunate to basically kind of broadcast the elite teams around the state because some of the matchups we had, including Beecher, right?
Yep.
And we'll talk to their head coach who has a connection with Rockridge softball as well. So that's coming up a bit later. In the program, more coming up. This is the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax and have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Comfortable, stylish, lightweight. All words that represent Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude supports a lifestyle of lifting you up and giving you the comfiest, cushiest, lightest shoes on earth. And now Hey Dude Shoes are buy one pair, get one pair 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Make your new go-to shoes Hey Dudes on sale now. Buy one, get one 25% off. 6140 Run in Galesburg.
It is the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, and looking at the 2A scoreboard from last night around the state, at Beardstown, Williamsville by a point over Alton Marquette, 48-47. So Williamsville and Macomb play for the Super Sectional Monday night down at the Bank of Springfield Center. The Benton Rangers last night on their home court knock off Breeze Central 34-32. Breeze Central, they end the year ranked number one, right? So number one goes down in terms of the rankings. Again, you know, the Chicago Public Schools featured now in 2A with their declining enrollment, 90-71. Phillips beat Noble Hansberry out of Chicago.
Holy cow.
Amari Edwards from Phillips, 32 points. Lawrence Horton from Phillips, 26 points. And Al Brooks from Hansberry, 34 points. So it's nice that Chicago Public, they provide some stats on the IHSA score zone. Well done for that. Beecher 60-43 over Fieldcrest out of the heart of the Illinois Conference. And then one other sectional involving a couple of Chicago schools. The Latin School of Chicago beat Christ the King 43-42. Here's the score zone post from whoever did this last night. Congratulations to both teams on a fantastic sectional championship. Chicago Latin moves on to the super sectional with a tight 43-42 victory over Christ the King. So that's from the Elmhurst Timothy.
I like when they congratulate both teams on that. Sometimes like it's like a really eloquently written, really long like write-up, which I love. It's really nice when they do that. It's kind of funny though too.
All right, Byron beat Princeton last night, 59-43. We saw Byron at the Sherrard Holiday Tournament. Brian Tucker had 26 points. Noah Laporte, he's just a junior, right? 13 points yeah. for him.
He's got over 1,000 points score through his junior year. He's getting Division I football interest. He's a great baseball player, too. He's a really good athlete over. He was our center fielder last year in baseball.
All right, and then one other score from last night. Shelbyville hosted a sectional. The Wooden Shoes of Deutopolis beat St. Joe Ogden by a final of 61-55. The final, so those teams all moving on to the super sectional on Monday night. Of course, the state tournament, again, is a Thursday-Friday situation down at the State Farm.
And Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah, the finals are Saturday. All four classes are played the same day. And then Thursday is the semis for 1A, 2A. Then they play the third-place games for 1A, 2A.
Here's what I'm going to say to Justice Keem. If Macomb gets to the state tournament and loses in the semifinal, I can't tell you how sorry I am. Because that freaking 2A third-place game tips off later than 9 o'clock. It's awful.
And it's on a Thursday night.
On a Thursday night. And I think, and I know, look, I don't like to rag on the IHSA because people give them a bunch of static for like everything they do. And I love the Saturday. The four state title games on the same day are the best thing they've ever did when it comes to the basketball postseason. But those semifinal days, they've got to do something about the third place games, because you stick around for you stick around. The 2A and 4A third place games, even the 1A, 3A third place games, the first ones, nobody's there for that session. Here's who's there. Like the parents, basically. Most students don't stick around for that because it's late. They got to get home. And then it's like the sad media contingent whose team lost and has to be there for the third place game. And then the band that's been there for 15 hours all day. So to me, I get why they have the third place game. But to me, like right now with the way that it is it's more harm than good. And like they don't televise them either.
Well, I will say for me, I agree with the assessment of how the games are scheduled.
Yeah.
Right. So the contract is up with State Farm Center after the state tournament this year. So as part of that, the IHSA is reassessing what the schedule is going to look like, what changes they can make. Now I don't know what that can be. You know, most average basketball fans, like you say, if your school's not involved, you don't care if the third place game is going to be played.
Correct.
But if you're a school there, you probably want to play the third place game.
I remember one of the funniest things Coach Say said last year. I remember because I did the post game interview with him just like in the hallway outside of the media room. And I wish I probably have the clip somewhere because I thought it was so funny what he said. Was he basically was like, you know, I said, so how do you, you know, regroup now? It's a crushing loss, you know, losing, and you got to turn around and play tonight. And he said, he goes, to be honest with you, the quote unquote experience you get is pretty poor. And he's like, so what we're going to do, and I remember exactly what he said, is he's like, we're going to switch to our maroon jerseys. We're all going to eat a 6-inch Jimmy John sub, and then we're going to play again in 5 hours. Oh, it was so funny. And then I texted him because then you were too much of a big shot to do the third place game, so you left. And I texted him a couple hours later, and I said, hey, man, can you come up just right after the game before you get your medals? And I saved his text because it was so funny, too. He said, will do, and then he said, hope to be in a better mood. Oh, man, that was good stuff. We miss Coach Say.
Yeah,
but we love Coach Harris.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out if it's over 3 days how they can change that. You know?
Yeah, I don't know if you can really. I mean, unless you take the third place game away, there's no way to do it.
And I don't think I'm for that.
Okay.
I think the kid should get the, but I too don't want the third place game played on the same day.
Right. First. Because what's
because, all, when, because the, like you say, the experience to the state tournament should be more than one day.
Yeah. And like, you know, you watch those third place games and those kids like are exhausted playing two games on the extended floor, you know, within the span of 5 or so hours. Like I remember, like those Rock Ridge kids last year, they were shorthanded, remember, because Wheatley got hurt in the super sectional. I mean, they were like coming off the floor and like, I mean, we're we're having trouble like breathing. I mean, it was, they were gassed in that third place game. And I don't know. I mean, I guess we've talked too much about a third place consolation game, I suppose. But, also, you know, the girls basketball season state finals are today, the final day of the season. I have the games here.
PR and Notre Dame by 30.
Yeah, probably. So 1A is Illini Bluffs against Oakville.
What a great year their school's having, because their boys won last night.
Yep, they're into the super sectional in boys. They are playing for a state title in girls. Today, the 2A game is the heavy favorite Peoria Notre Dame taking on Nashville at 1. These games are at CEFQ Arena, formerly Redbird Arena in Bloomington Normal. The 3A state title game is the heavy favorite Lincoln against Glenwood, who is looking to wrap up a perfect season. Lincoln is with Piper Whiteman, right? Brody's little sister, a junior. And then the 4A state title game is Nazareth Academy against Loyola Academy.
And then at the end of the day, they should play a special exhibition game between Lincoln and Peoria Notre Dame again.
I would love to see that.
So the 1A boys basketball finals quickly from last night, Illini Bluffs. They beat Camp Point Central 47-35, so credit Camp Point Central, you know, a team that won the state title in football, gets the sectional title in basketball. The Hayworth Hornets beat Lexington 51-43 at Salt Fork in Catlin, Illinois. Chicago Orr hosted a sectional last night. It was Hope Academy by 2 over Chicago Marshall 68-66. Down at Effingham St. Anthony last night, Christ Our Rock Lutheran School, they're out of Centralia. They beat the Arcola Purple Riders 49-39 at Harvest Christian Academy in Elgin. Aurora Christian beat Serena 61-52. Battle of NUIC teams last night at Hanover River Ridge. It was Pecatonica 60, Eastland 50. Pecatonica, the quarterback on the football team, somebody told me he's a really good player. What's his name?
Hoffman is his last name. Yeah. Cooper Hoffman.
Now, Brian Roosh told me that Eastland is all underclassmen, and he said they will be one of the best teams.
And I think the Hoffman kid's a junior, too, for Pecatonica.
Yes, so he'll be back for Dupec football. Mounds Meridian, that's the alma mater of the great Nesto, yep. Aaron Britton of Nesto Hoops. They knocked off the defending 1A state champs 50-41. That's Meridian out of Mounds beating Jabot Catholic of Waterloo 50-41. And then in Whitehall, that's North Green High School, West Central, that's the Winchester West Central. They beat Hardin Calhoun, who now co-ops with this school, and I'm not sure who that is. 64-61, the final. So those are the 1A winners that move on to the super sectional. We see Illini Bluffs play at the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament the past couple of years, and of course they played Rock Ridge at
the Great Western Shootout.
Yeah, and then the other thing about basketball, so Great Western Shootout next year at Abingdon, Rock Ridge and Sherrard will be in the field. Peoria Notre Dame and Peoria Emanuel, they're in the field, and then Macomb is in that field,
that's
too.
That's a good field. And I know Sherrard, I believe, is playing in the Peoria Emanuel Shootout next year. I think Coach Johnson said that, which is that's really cool. I mean, you know, they got to play them at Metamora this year, and I think they'll get a good test there next year, but that's a ways down the road, I suppose. One other thing that I wanted to mention this week that happened, so, you know, we talked to Shelby Bowman, West Central girls basketball player.
Awesome.
Finished over 2,500 career points, Division I signee with Western Illinois. This year she was named first team All-State in 1A girls basketball by the Associated Press and then also by the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association, so congratulations to her. And the A-Town freshman phenom, Kennedy Quinn, is second-team All-Stater from the IBCA as well. So congrats to them. And then Morrison had a girl on the first-team All-State team by the Associated Press, Cameron Beltrup, a junior, and then the Holkey girl from Allman was a second-teamer too.
Yeah, and I said this on the air last night. So when I was walking by the Macomb student section where some of their administrators were at, one of their administrators came up to me and said, Mr. Hoshide, it's so great that, you know, you guys continue to broadcast high school sports like you do. And I said, well, I thank you for the acknowledgement. I said, but I'm not John Hoshide. I'm Jim Taylor. Oh, well, thank you, Jim. You know, whatever.
I wish John was here this week, too.
Yeah, so.
It was fun having him on last Saturday.
So anyway, a lot of those people still have the great memories of the relationships that they had back in the day when they played, you know, Aledo prior to the consolidation and Rock Ridge and in Orion and Sherrard. And I said that, you know, last night during the broadcast. That was always a big game for the Rock Ridge, Sherrard, and Aledo and Orion. That was a good rivalry for those schools because the way the conference was set up back then, at least in the basketball and kind of that sport, the road games on Friday were always the distance games. And so when Aledo or Rock Ridge or Sherrard or Orion would play Macomb, it was always Friday night, and they always had big crowds at that hangar. It was always a great environment to play a game at. So anyway, and I think that, you know, they'd like to see their conference affiliation, I think, change a little bit and have some better regular season.
Coach Anderson talked about that a little bit, like I'm talking about, like, the Olympic Conference connection with Rock Ridge, as he said, you know, and he's right on the mark, I think. He said, you know, part of the reason why this game is going to feel really big is because, like, our kids know the Rock Ridge kids. There's familiarities. Like, maybe they don't know them personally, but they know about them, and their kids know about our kids, and he's like, you know, that makes it a little more special when you're playing schools that you're familiar with. And I think that is why conference affiliation is important in interscholastic athletics. You should play the schools that it means something when you play them, right?
Well, it's interesting because he actually lives in the Monmouth-Roseville School District, and he has a daughter that plays volleyball on the 8th grade Monmouth-Roseville team. So I don't know, when we played Monmouth-Roseville, like maybe a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, well, here, Jeremy Anderson's in the Mirko Junior High gym. And then I said to him last night, I said, man, this ain't going to be the biggest game this weekend. There's the Prairieland Conference Junior High Volleyball Tournament.
No, it's taking place regional.
Yeah, that's right, the regional taking place. So, and he'll probably be up watching it, you know.
Hopefully.
Yeah, so anyway. All right, so Beecher Bobcat head coach coming up, right?
Tyler Shireman. They are the only team that's undefeated in the state. They're now 34-0. So last night they played Fieldcrest, who only had one loss on the season in the sectional championship at Clifton Central. So we just talked to Coach Shireman. So that's the thing about Beecher this season they've had. And the crazy thing, before this year, they had only won one regional ever in boys basketball in the school's history. So, I mean, to have this special of a year for them, and he's an assistant on the softball staff too, so we talk a little bit about that with that connection with Rock Ridge. Obviously, they play the state tournament every year, but most of the conversation is about their year they've had and just an incredible run and the support they've picked up from the community and just how special it is for them to be 34-0, a chance to get to the state tournament for the first time ever for them on Monday. They'll play Phillips in Joliet. I think we talked to Coach Ironman for about 20 minutes just about a lot of different things, and he's a really great guy, and it's been fun to get to know him over the past couple years, and just really happy for that program. They have had such a great year, and it's awesome. They still haven't lost a game, and they've played some, you know, pretty tough teams. We know they played Rock Ridge. They played Peoria, Notre Dame. They picked up a game with Byron. They've also, you know, they played Mercer County, who had a great year, and Riverdale, who had a great year, too, at the Cliff Workins Memorial Classic. So congrats to them. We'll talk with him coming up. One of the final eight teams standing in 2A and the only team in the state who was undefeated in March.
And I thought it was great. You told me that he told you, maybe he says it in the interview, that during the course of the celebration, he broke his phone.
Yep.
So, and I mean, that's
we talked about that. It's pretty funny.
That's probably the first thing he's doing this morning is whatever stores in Beecher at 9 o'clock. You can't. Especially for him, you can't survive this time of the year without a phone.
Right.
So he got to do that today. So that'll be a great conversation. Now we're hoping next week they'll give us the keys to the State Farm Center.
Yeah.
So we're planning to do Sportsline on location next week at the State Farm Center because we're going to be there watching games and doing whatever. right?
Yeah, hopefully they hopefully Matt Troha lets us in. You'll have to email him.
Yeah, so
I know John was talking to him this week.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and so anyway, it was great. Like I said, the experience at Alice Ingersoll Gymnasium was awesome. Fun high school basketball season. You know, we worked closely with Coach CDM and his staff at Mercer County, and Coach Johnson and his staff at Sherrard, and Coach Harris and his staff at Rock Ridge.
And we'll kind of give like a, you know, we'll wrap up. We'll give our final thoughts on the basketball season, I guess, at the end of the program today. But we got to get to Coach Shireman and the Beecher Bobcats, our adopted team.
All right.
The Eastern Well,
I'm
still,
I'm
going to,
yeah, okay.
I'm rooting for McComb.
Yeah, I'm all in for the Bombers, too. Right. So, anyway. All right, we got more coming up. So, we'll hear from the Beecher head coach. Again, America's original March Madness here in the great state of Illinois. This is the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance? Then relax and have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but do they have great local customer service and support? When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Save on Saucony at 6140RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 6140RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony, built to keep you stable and comfortable. The Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony, featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 6140RUN in Galesburg.
And this is Ty Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We're joined by Beecher boys basketball coach Tyler Shireman. Now, earlier in the season, I don't know if he was kidding with me or not, but at the end of a pregame interview with him when Rock Ridge went over to Beecher, he said, if you ever need me on Sportsline on Saturday mornings, I'll do it. And I texted Coach Shireman late last night. I said, hey, I'm going to take you up on that offer if you're okay with it. So Coach Shireman, after winning his sectional title last night, up early this morning, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, you know, we start with the funny story kind of behind the scenes. You sent me an email last night. This is kind of how the postseason goes at like 12:30 a.m. and said, hey, my screen's broken on my phone during our celebration last night. Can you call me on my wife's phone tomorrow morning? So give us a story. I guess, one, how did the phone break? And two, do you say a broken iPhone is worth winning a sectional title and being 34-0?
Well, we'll start with that last question, and the answer is 100%. Absolutely. We'll take that any day. So my phone throughout basketball season, is just I'm always dropping it or doing something, and it's just I always just thought, kept putting it off. I'll wait till the end of the basketball season till I get one, and it was good enough where I could make it work. And then last night it fell on the bus as I'm trying to send in scores, and I'm trying to respond to a bunch of text messages and stuff like that. So I really – I guess the moral of the story is that we're playing basketball in March. I can't put it off any longer, and I'm going to have to go get one. So it's a good problem to have to cave in and get one this morning.
So let's talk about that sectional championship win for your ball club last night. I believe 60-43 over Fieldcrest. I think that game was between two teams who had combined to lose just one game coming into it. So obviously, you know, in a sectional championship, always a lot of intensity there. Just a little bit about kind of the atmosphere and your kids' performance in a high-pressure game last night to get to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, both teams, we were combined 66-1 going into last night. And Fieldcrest had their only loss had come to Rock Falls, who they had actually beaten earlier in the year, too. So they could have very well have been undefeated coming into last night like us, too. But, you know, it was a packed gym at Clifton Central High School. It was packed, and it was a great atmosphere. And You know, there was 1,800 people, maybe 2,000 people there last night. So it was really important. We never trailed, got out to a lead early and kind of kept them at arm's length for the majority of the game. And I think that was huge for the fact that all week the gym was really loud and it was, nobody can hear anything. It's tough for the kids to communicate with the bench and stuff like that. So for the fact that we got out ahead early on and had the crowd and the noise on our side, I think that definitely helped us operate as the game went on.
All right, 10 years for you as the head coach at Beecher. You told me earlier in the season, just, I believe, one regional title in boys basketball in school history. So 34-0, winning a sectional championship this year, entering March undefeated. I mean, how does that feel? How big is that for this school, this program, and the community in Beecher? There's got to be a lot of excitement for Monday night.
Yeah, this is, you know, we've talked about this before, too, that, you know, there's a lot of great high school basketball across Illinois, but I just don't think there anything compares to small town high school basketball and small town high school sports in general. And we're coaching kids who all grew up together. We're coaching kids who have been, you know, we're spread across different rec teams growing up and then eventually got to play on the same team as they get into the junior high system and stuff like that. So it's definitely woken up the town. We definitely had a big crowd there last night following us. But, yeah, I have people who reach out to me and call or text or email the school email who, you know, I've never met before, introducing themselves, just talking about, you know, they've been to games now more than they ever have. And we have a lot of elementary kids and junior high kids that are coming out to games too. So a run like this is definitely going to have some residual effects down the line in terms of we're going to keep more fans at games and we're going to have a lot of younger players who are coming through the system who are kind of inspired by this little run that we're on here.
Well, yeah, I remember that night you played Rock Ridge in late January when we went over there and just the environment in there that night. I mean, it felt like, you know, I know it was a long trip for Rock Ridge, but it felt like almost a college type atmosphere. It was like one of the truest road games I've ever seen in high school basketball. Cause like, it was basically both bleachers just packed with orange and black. And it was just loud in there from the opening tip to the final buzzer. So when you look at kind of the support you've got, you know, normally at high school games, you're going to have the parents of the kids, students will be at the game, but you've really got the community behind you, it looks like. I mean, is this kind of the biggest crowds you've seen coming to Beecher basketball games in your time this season?
Oh, without question. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, I've had a lot of kids come through the program in 10 years who have just, even if we haven't had a ton of success and maybe we just got above 500, but, you know, maybe that was a successful season for us early on. They have slowly kind of built this program and kind of left it a better place than the way they found it. And it's all kind of building up to a year like this year where we've always told the kids, the more you win, the bigger these crowds will get, but you got to win and you got to create a little buzz first. So specifically the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, we've won a lot of games and then it all just kind of built up to the point of this year where, you know, we haven't lost and get some really nice players and we're playing good teams. Like we go to Byron and play, we get Rock Ridge to come out and play us. So that definitely helps with the buzz too, when we're playing, you know, high pressure games against really good opponents. And yeah, this is by far the most people we've had at games, but it's been slowly building and it's coming to a head right now. We're really appreciative of all the support we've gotten over the past couple months.
Well, you mentioned kind of the way you've upped your schedule this year. We talked with you about that during the week in Erie a couple months ago at the Cliff Orkins Memorial Classic. You mentioned the game you picked up with Byron. You got to play Rock Ridge, who has such a proud tradition, a game with Peoria Notre Dame this season too. You got tested by Mercer County and Erie, who had a great year this year as well. So how much do you think all that has helped you and allowed you to kind of go on this run in the postseason especially? I mean, how much has that prepared you maybe more so than what you've seen in the regular season in years past?
Yeah, and I need to give a shout-out to Coach Kelly at Riverdale, too. That's another team that we played really tough at the Warkins in Erie as well. And, you know, they were a regional championship team, too. So, you know, we came out to Erie to play some new teams, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when we got into the holiday tournament. And it's been really good for us to get away and play new teams, but it's also been good for us to play like quality teams as well. So last summer, or, you know, at the end of last basketball season, probably, you know, April of last year, I kind of talked to the kids who are seniors now and just said, hey, we got to go find some tough teams. We got to try to get out of our comfort zone a little bit and play good teams. And it might mean that we, you know, sacrifice some wins in the long run, but it's going to make us better for the postseason. So we've just been fortunate enough to win a lot of close games against some really tough competition, but it's definitely made us a lot better for this run. And You know, last night we got ahead and stayed ahead, but, you know, we were losing at halftime of the sectional semifinal to Bismarck Kenning. We were losing at halftime of the regional final to Joliet Catholic. So we're finding out that we can play from a couple of different spots, and our kids kind of are doing a really good job of staying in the game and staying in the fight regardless of the score and the situation. They're just kind of letting the 32 minutes play out each and every night.
Yeah, you mentioned kind of your postseason path so far, and like from afar, you know, I've been kind of following your team because, you know, I really like what you guys do and I've been rooting for you in the postseason. When I saw what you, you know, in the regional championship scene, you know, you go undefeated, but you have to play a program in a school like Joliet Catholic. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's not much of a reward for the regular season you've had. And then Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin, a solid team, like you said, in the sectional semifinal, and then a team that has lost just one game throughout the season in Fieldcrest in the sectional championship. So a tough postseason path so far as well. I mean, how do you think your kids have played so far in the postseason now on your way to the Super Sectional Monday?
Yeah, we weren't happy, or I shouldn't say happy, we weren't thrilled that, you know, Joliet Catholic fell to us in our regional. But, you know, that's, we've been in the, in kind of the subsectional complex with them for a couple of years now, and they, you know, the record is never great just because of the conference that they play in, but it's never a team you want to see bump down to 2A this time of the year. So my assistant coach brought up a good point, though. You know, we could have complained about it and whined about it, but you know, I think it kind of like, it kind of made us a little bit like, it hardened us up again too, like after the end of the year, and we kind of finished it off 34-0, and you know, we had to play Chicago Carver out of the Chicago Public League in the semifinal, and then Joliet Catholic, that I think it allowed us just to like refocus, and we didn't have an easy path. There wasn't any games we could relax and just, you know, and have kind of easy games to go play. But I think in the long run, it kind of just refocused us and kept us on edge and kept us playing, you know, with a different style and a chip on our shoulder to stay undefeated. So it's been tough, but I think it's prepared us for what we've gone through the last 2 weeks, and I think it's going to help us out on Monday as well.
Well, the way the postseason works, you know, it just feels like it goes by so fast, where it's on to the next thing, on to the next thing, on to the next thing. So, you know, you go basically Friday against Joliet Catholic a week ago. Earlier this week, you play the game with Bismarck Henning, and then Friday again, Fieldcrest. Now you play Monday against Phillips. So, you know, you go basically from day to day to day. There's not a whole lot of time to sit back and reflect on what you've been able to do. So what is like the week ahead look for you? You play Monday in Joliet against Phillips. So how quickly do you shift focus to another high-octane game you're going to be playing?
Well, I told the kids last night when we got back to Beecher before they got off the bus, I said, you know, you guys are going to enjoy this, and I want you to enjoy it and have fun with it. And, you know, they took last night and they celebrated. We're going to come in at noon today and get stuff done. And I know when they come back to the gym, they're not satisfied, and they're going to be focused and be ready to look forward to Monday. And, you know, we practice a little. The good thing about this part of the year is we're not going to sit here and drill guys and go through a lot of our stuff that we do throughout the year, because it, right now it's just for us, it's kind of about just staying loose and staying, getting some guys healthy from some tweaks and some aches and pains. And, you know, we ball handle every day. We shoot every day. We do some long, deep stretching every day. So it's kind of like, you know, it's just a little bit of a maintenance phase right now for us. But I think mentally is going to be the biggest thing for us to kind of get rested up today and tomorrow and refocused for Monday night, which will be a really tough game with Chicago Phillips.
And something else I want to ask you about. So the one connection you have with Beecher is your assistant, one of your assistants, Kevin Hayhurst, you know, has spent time as a varsity boys basketball coach in his career. He's also a longtime, you know, varsity coach in softball at Beecher, which is such a great program. You're an assistant with him on the softball team. And I know you told me earlier in the year, kind of joking, like we're around each other way too much. We talk about the Beecher softball, you know, run. I think two state titles in the last 6 years, a really proud program in the state. So how much, you know, with you having him as an assistant in basketball, but then, you know, you on the softball side as an assistant, just taking like the success of that program, how much has that helped you think, build, you know, this program in basketball for Beecher? Like, what have you been able to take away from that, you think?
I've never been around anybody who is more, has more attention to detail than Coach Hayhurst. And, you know, when I first started coming around this football program, you know, all these state championships and state runs and these, you know, Division I players and just a program, like you said, that's very proud and very rich in history, you would think that he could easily just show up and go through the motions and just think, yep, this program's just going to run itself. But I've never been around somebody who cares so much about even just the most basic fundamental things on a day-to-day basis with these kids. And that's probably the biggest thing I've taken over to the basketball side is sometimes we just get too involved with worrying about the big picture and all different plays and all these different things we can do schematically, when it all just comes down to like just the basic things, taking care of the basketball and rebounding and making sure we're in a good spots defensively and making sure we're sharing the ball on offense. And it's kind of like we've kept it pretty simple from that regard. And, you see these girls in softball and Beecher, we don't make mistakes. We don't throw the ball around. We don't boot it. We've always played great defense. And, those are some of the things we've taken over to the basketball side, just thinking about how we can just be really good at the little things, because if we can't be really good at the little things, the big picture isn't going to matter because we're not going to win that many games. And I think he's also done a great job with me this postseason on just helping me structure some of the practices. You know, he was a head coach at 4A Thornwood for a long time and a couple state runs there as well. So as we've gotten into the postseason and, our legs are getting tired and we're getting a lot of games under our belt, he's done a really good job of helping me with some of the practice plans and some of the things we can walk back, some of the things we can maybe do at 50 or 75%. And it's helped keep our kids in the right mindset and it's helped keep our kids fresh during this run. So he's been just an immense help to me. Like you said, we've been around each other a lot from almost, October to the end of the school year. So we get sick of each other a lot. We get on each other's nerves, I'm sure. But when you're winning games like we are right now, it definitely makes it all worth it.
All right, so 34-0 on the season, first sectional title in boys basketball in Beecher school history. We touched on earlier how quick the postseason goes, from game to game to game, and this has been such a special year for you and this program. And I think it's hard when you're in the moment to really, soak it in and be like, this is really special what we're doing, because there's so many things you got to worry about. So do you think that you and the kids have been able to kind of appreciate what you've been doing this year, why you've been, still in it right now?
I think this week, the sectional week was different than the week before. I think the regional week, with us only having one regional in our school's history and then being the number one team in the subsectional, when we beat Joliet Catholic on last Friday, when, we were losing, like I said, we're losing at halftime. We went on a little bit of a run at the end of the third quarter to take the lead going into the fourth, but we hadn't led. I think that was only the second time we had led all game. I think there was a sense of relief after that was over with, that being undefeated in the regular season, if we don't get the regional, I think there would have been some feelings of failure for us, that we weren't at least able to take home some hardware. So for me and the kids, I think there was just a sense of relief and calming, and that we were practices this week were much more relaxed, and not to say that we're not going hard and we're not focused and stuff like that, but there was just a sense of relief that we enjoyed this week way more than we did last week. And I think it freed us up a little bit. I think we're playing loose now. We're playing with some confidence. And there was no signs of tightness at all this week in our two sectional games. And I think that's all because we're some good basketball kids on this team. And now we're just, like I said, we're playing free. We're playing loose, and we're enjoying every day for sure.
And just as we wrap up with you this morning, when you look at the bare bones of what Interscholastic Athletics is about, you want to give kids great experiences. You want to help them grow as people, and you want to make sure that they have fond memories of playing whatever sport it is in high school. And I think, like we touched on with your group this year in boys basketball, what a great year that you've had. So how enjoyable has it been, to get to see your kids that you've been around, for 4 years, growing this program, to enjoy, the success and to feel the joy of what it means to win, postseason games in high school sports?
Yeah, we come out to, Erie and we stay in the hotel. Those are all experiences. It's not just about basketball too. It's about the fact that trips like that are so great because you're in between semesters. So there's no homework we got to worry about. Girlfriends aren't around, family isn't around, so it's just us guys hanging out at hotels. We're eating meals together. We're just constantly spending time together. So those are the trips that we try to give these kids experiences because I know it's stuff that they'll remember for a lifetime. The wins on top of that have obviously just been, an added bonus that we've been so successful. So we're really thankful for all of that. Our core group of guys here have been, we've had some kids that have got it out along the way who have moved into town and stuff like that, but our core group of seniors have been playing together since, you know, early elementary school and playing rec and stuff like that. So it's really fun to see these guys. They enjoy being around each other. They are really good friends off the court. And it's just really fun that they have these experiences now on top of that. And at the beginning of the year, we had kind of said, you know, we're going to take it day by day. We're going to stay in the moment just because, you know, when you guys graduate and you're old like me, you know, after this year's over, you're never going to have this again. It's never going to be the same. You're never going to be in uniform in the same locker rooms with your players. All you're going to be left with memories when you're old like me. And, you know, we want to do everything we can to make sure that those memories are good and positive. And these guys are definitely living up to that standard.
Well, a little over a month ago, I drove 3.5 hours from Aledo to Beecher. And unfortunately, I couldn't convince Coach Shireman to drive 3.5 hours this way to do this interview in person. But Coach Shireman, thanks a lot for joining us this morning. And congrats on a great season, man. Really hope to see you get Champaign with a win on Monday night.
All right. Appreciate your guys' support. Thanks for having me on. And thanks for all that you guys do for interscholastic sports. You guys are definitely a good embodiment of small town basketball and small town sports, and I'm sure the people of the Quad Cities appreciate it just like we do around here.
And that is Beecher boys basketball coach Tyler Shireman, the Bobcat 34-0 sectional champions after beating Fieldcrest last night. They'll play Phillips for a super sectional and a trip to the state title on Monday in Joliet. That's Coach Shireman. I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ. More coming up next.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Comfortable, stylish, lightweight. All words that represent Hey Dude shoes from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude supports a lifestyle of lifting you up and giving you the comfiest, cushiest, lightest shoes on earth. And now, Hey Dude shoes are buy one pair, get one pair 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Make your new go-to shoes, Hey Dudes, on sale now. Buy one, get one 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. We're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. And it's time to talk March Madness, maybe the greatest time of the year, especially when we have decent weather, Jim.
Yeah, no question about it. And, of course, as we record this, it's Friday of sectional title day for 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A boys basketball. And the girls basketball state tournament now for 1A, 2A, of course, moving to the championship round on Saturday. I know this time of year I always get asked about, boy, what would it be like if we would go back to the two-class system? I don't know. I think if you don't have a team involved, you say, yeah, let's do two-class basketball again. But if you have teams involved, I mean, I don't think you really care whether it's one, two, three, or four classes.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe sometimes you get that thought of, you know, maybe class 1A is a little weak in spots, you know, that's what you kind of hear, you know, and in other spots it's very strong, and the 1A champ could probably win 2A. But, you know, you talk about the sectional, and I think about the two-class system, and I think about that being the one tournament, the one part of the tournament, and the one venue where there's usually more demand than there are seats, and I think that's the beauty of sports. I still have kind of nightmares about a visit to East Dubuque in 2003. Mount Carroll was taking on Rock Falls. We got there an hour and a half before tip-off, and there were 1,000 people standing at every, you know, entrance to East Dubuque High School, and I'm like, man, let's go back to those days. Those were pretty fantastic.
Yeah, and I think, too, the other thing that we've lost with the four-class system, and I'm torn whether you go to two-class or four-class. We're never going back to two-class. I get that, but we're always reflective of that. But I think in the two-class system, the one thing, because I know a lot of people say, well, that really impacted the fan base at the state tournament, the final weekend of the season. Maybe some of that was true, but I just think, you know, the growth of the NCAA tournament has become so big, the growth of conference tournaments in college basketball, that's become so big, and youth sports where a lot of kids are, you know, playing basketball at this time that are not in high school that can't go to the weekend state tournament, and then you have the overlap of baseball and softball season now, you know, those spring sports, which limits some fan base to go to those games. But long story short, I think the two-class system, the one thing that I miss the most about it is what you just kind of alluded to. The regional was such a bigger thing, I thought, in two-class system. Little bit different now in the four-class system for whatever the reason is. I think we've lost some of that. But like I said, if you have a really good team playing and you're in the sectional final or in the super sectional, or more importantly, if you get to the state tournament, you don't care if it's one, two, three, or four classes, whatever it is, you're having a successful season. Now, the other thing I was thinking about as we talk here today, I was telling Brian off the air, we did Peoria Emanuel. They were playing Wednesday night at the Canton sectional. We've been covering that. Now, Peoria Emanuel has one of the top juniors in the state, a 6'7 point guard by the name of Dietrich Richardson. And I was thinking, you know, back in the day when I first started, how many college coaches would be at that game to watch a high-level prospect like that play, right? Especially in the postseason. You'd see a lot of coaches like that. But not anymore, right? They all travel the AAU circuit. And we had another player that's a D1 player that was from Peoria, Notre Dame. And it's just funny how really maybe if you see a few coaches maybe at the state tournament, but man, that's something that I miss too from back in the day when you'd see some of those coaches turn up at a local regional or sectional basketball game, right?
Oh yeah, you'd see them, you know, kind of make their way in, and yeah, you'd have a row of, you know, college coaches, whether they be, you know, Division I or D2 or even some, you know, D3s, whatever. But yes, you always had those coaches out there, and that was part of the fun. You never knew who might pop in the door.
They're all following the AAU circuit now. But I felt pretty good, at least the games I've broadcast here on the tournament trail. The fan base has been pretty good, and I know COVID, I think, is far, far, far away in the rearview mirror. So I've been pleased with the crowds thus far postseason-wise. What about you?
Yeah, I've been really pleased, and I know at the sectional at River Ridge, they've had a great, you know, turnout, and, you know, I'm sure as we record this, tonight's still on the horizon, but I'm sure that they'll have standing room only, and that's what you want to see at this time of the year. You want to see fans, you know, on their feet throughout the game and you know, packed to the rafters and not, you know, be able to count how many, you know, fans are sitting there. So,
all right, the one other thing I was going to ask you, so I know the contract is up for State Farm Center, the three-year contract, I think, at the end of the state tournament, and they're going to look at the schedule, you know, with how they're doing these weekends for boys and girls basketball with, you know, the 1A, 2A semifinals on Thursday. The losers play then in the third place game on Thursday night. Then you have the 3A, 4A semifinals on Friday. And the losers of those games play Friday night, and then it's the championship round on Saturday. And I told you I forgot with the girls' basketball schedule. I'm like, man, I totally forgot about the 1A, 2A semifinals on Thursday, and I missed that whole thing. So what is the answer for the schedule on the weekend for 1A through 4A basketball? Do you keep it the same how it is, or do you try to change it a little bit?
Yeah, that's a great question. I just hate, from experience, that third-place game being played the same day, especially if you play in that night game and then your fans have to head home. It also brings some uncertainty when it comes to lodging. I just think it's a really delicate situation, but if they had a better schedule, they would have fixed it by now. And maybe you look at surrounding states, you know, where they make a week out of it. And I know that that's going to be disruptive to school and such, but how much work's getting done in those, you know, districts anyway when their teams are playing in the state tournament at that point, at that level of the tournament? So I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. Again, I question, you know, it's if you're playing there and you're, because a lot of people say, I'll just do away with the third place game, right? Well, it's easy to say that if you don't have a team playing at the state tournament. You know, then you're shortchanged a game. Now, one of the other things that I've heard coaches say is with the State Farm Center set up, you don't get a practice on the court like you did back in the day when they were the original host in the two-class system. Teams would actually get a practice on the court. So you don't get a practice on the court. I think that's one big thing that is missing. And I don't know how they can allow that when you're dealing with a Big Ten university that needs that facility, that has a top-level program. So I just don't think the IHSA would eliminate the third-place games, but they have to do something with those, like you say. I just think it's unfair for the team that loses on Thursday to turn around and have to play again late at night. And we've dealt with it because we've done the 2A game, so that, you know, you're basically playing that game in the afternoon and then turn around and playing maybe a game that tips off at 9 o'clock and boom, your state tournament experience is over in one day. So I agree. I think they have to figure out how do we do those third-place games. But that's something they're going to look at here with the new bid specs that go out with the contract up with State Farm Center and CEFQ Arena and Normal. So that's something to follow here.
I know, not to interrupt, Jim, but I know they've reached out to the coaches who've participated for their input, and I think that's a good step, you know.
Yeah, that's an issue, again, we'll follow here during the spring months. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Toledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline. Save on Saucony at 6140RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 6140RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 6140RUN in Galesburg.
All right, Jim Taylor, Ty Taylor back on the WMJ Sports Line as we wind down our March the 2nd show following last night's sectional title broadcast as the Macomb Bombers down the Rockridge Rockets 54-38. Macomb moving on to the 2A Super Sectional playing Monday night in downtown Springfield at the Bank of Springfield Center against Williamsville. So that, So that concludes our local basketball coverage for the 2023-2024 season. You said last night how many, I forget what, 70-some-odd games?
74 broadcasts this winter for us, which matched our total last year.
All right, so that means next year we'll be at, what, is it the Rova-Williamsfield-Ridgewood tournament? Is that how we begin the season?
Rova-Williamsfield-Ridgewood, yeah.
And probably A-Town will be the heavy favorite at that tournament?
A-Town will be the heavy favorite at that tournament.
All right, yes. And then we'll segue into the 10-32 tip-off classic at Orion.
I say entering the season, early in the season, I think Orion the favorite there next year. Again, they won it last this year. They bring that Owens kid. I tell you what, that dude is a player. He really is.
Yeah,
he can they're my it. Pick on March the 2nd to win the 10-32 Tip-Off Classic. I'm giving everybody bulletin board material. Write it down, Coach CDM.
he has right now. He's got his iPad and said, let's see, March 2nd, 10-14, that no good Ty Taylor said Orion's going
to
win.
I really like Orion. And, you know, you look ahead to next year basketball for us. I really think, I mean, this year we had a great year with Mercer County, Sherrard, and Rock Ridge all winning 20-plus games. I don't know how many times that's happened in the history of the station, but, you know, all three teams are really good. The games that the teams played against each other were great, fun games. And next year they'll all be in the same league, which will be fun too, where we'll get two games with everybody playing each other too. But, you know, I just am really looking forward to that. And I think, like, Rock Ridge next year, definitely really, really good again with the top three kids they have back. Sherrard will be a very good team. Mercer County, you know, I know they lose a lot, but I think I really like what Coach Seedham does with that program and his assistants. I think they do. I think they're extremely well coached. Mercer County is. So I think that they, I mean, I think early in the season, it's going to take them a while to kind of figure out where kids fit in just because, you know, I think they're bringing back like something like 8 points per game from this year, right? But I know there are kids that'll be juniors next year have had really successful basketball careers at the junior high level and at the JV level. And I know that, you know, maybe doesn't mean a ton for what you're going to do at the varsity level, but they've had success. They've won a lot of games. So I think Mercer County will be a very good team. And Orion, I think, should be really good next year. I think they have a possibility to win 20 games. You look at Riverdale in the Track West, back-to-back regional championships. They've won 20 games two of the last 3 years. I like what Coach Kelly does. And Monmouth-Roseville is never bad, right?
Mm-mm.
So you put those six teams together. That's the conference next year. Going to be really fun throughout the year. And every conference game is a Friday night. How much fun is that league going to
well,
be?
Well, and
that's going to be so competitive.
Yeah. Well, and it's going to be such an adjustment, and will be so I don't know such a change because that's all you're going to have now is
that's
basically
awesome.
Local teams playing one another.
That's
about. I mean, our broadcast schedule basically is going to be a local team, especially during ball sports. It's going to be basically a local team playing a local team.
Yep. And those are the most fun games
to
do.
I mean, contiguous schools, basically.
Yep, those are the most fun games to do.
Now, one thing that I saw, and this makes me mad. I heard this bubbling under the surface here, and I don't know if it's true. It was a note that John Hoshite scribbled on a school board agenda, and I was going to ask him about that. Maybe we can get him on the air for interpretation. But I did see a documented report from the Bureau County Republican that covers basically the track east, and they're covering Bureau Valley and their move to the Lincoln Trail Conference.
Right.
Now, there was a story that was posted in their newspaper that said Princeton is not going to play Bureau Valley anymore because they left without whatever notice. Now, to me, I'm like, everybody defaults and says, oh, it's supposed to be about the kids. Well, that type of decision is not about the kids. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Now, the other thing here, I've heard some of that little bit bubbling under the surface about some of the LTC schools aren't going to play Mercer County non-conference anymore because they left. And if that's the case, then you're not doing it for the kids. Don't say you're doing it for the kids.
I don't know. From what I've heard, I think, I mean, a lot of those teams, I don't know if they have like non-conference openings in their schedule.
That. But if they're specifically taking a stance that they're not going to play, then don't tell me, don't ever tell me you're in it for the kids because you're not.
Right.
You're adults, grown adults making that decision for kids.
Right. Yeah, and there are too many people who do things like that, you know, are adults and act like high school sports are like.
Well, yeah, they need to
get over it, presidential election, you know, it's like. But anyway, I really
would you agree with me on the position? Now,
I
that's
agree.
A documented story on Bureau Valley in Princeton.
I agree with you.
So,
agree.
John Hoshite scribbled a note on a school board agenda he covered that said Lincoln Trail Conference schools won't play Mercer County.
Yeah, but I don't think it's fair for us to like. That that's what's happening, though. There's no confirmed. I mean,
well, that's from him. His notes on.
Yeah, but it's like a. Yeah, I don't.
Well, if it's true,
then I'll back off here. But if that stuff is happening,
I really don't think it is. I think the reason that they would be having trouble to find it is because, again, these schools probably have full non-conference schedules already. It's year over year. I mean, you see it. Normally the non-conference schedules don't really change for schools. They're just, it's kind of the same run every year. So if those teams are full, I mean, and you know, like Mercer County is replaced in the league by Bureau Valley, so that's picked up. So there's no opening. If the teams have a full schedule already, there's nothing they can do. I mean, so I really don't think that it's, I would highly doubt that people are doing that. I really don't think that's happening.
I hope so. I hope you're right. Well, they're doing it with Bureau Valley and Princeton.
Right. Well, yeah. But
So 12 conference games you get.
But in Mercer County, they didn't leave early. They gave the proper
exactly
notice.
Exactly right.
And that, so there's nobody in the Lincoln Trail should be mad at Mercer County. They didn't do anything wrong. And they got a team to replace them, so what does it matter? I mean, no one should, there's no reason that anyone in that league should be mad that Mercer County's leaving. One, it's a better fit. I mean, if you can't see that the track is a better fit than the LTC for Mercer County, get glasses, I guess.
Well, like, nobody, and the thing of it is, nobody's ever said it's about competition. I've never heard anybody
right.
said that, that said they want to make them, they want to play, people, the general fan base, they want to play the local schools.
Right.
That's what it boils down to. That's it. It doesn't have anything to do with competition.
Right.
It has everything to do with rivalry.
Correct.
Nothing to do with competition. But some people make it say, well, what, you're saying you're too good to be? No, nobody's ever said that.
That's not what I'm saying either.
We play in the Prairie Land Junior High Conference. It features all those same teams.
Right.
Kids all in this town compete against all these kids at the youth level. Let them play at the high school level.
Right. I mean, it is what it is. Like that, the level of the team or whatever, I mean, it fluctuates from year to year, you know. Like, I don't really care about the competition per se because, I mean, you know, Princeville had a way more successful season than Monmouth-Roseville in boys basketball this year. Monmouth-Roseville had triple the amount of fans here than when Princeville came here, just
exactly
as a fact
right.
of the matter. So.
All right,
and the Princeville games were conference championship, conference tournament championship. Sherrard had 10 times the fans Princeville had here, right? I mean, it's just how it is. So, anyway, you want to make money with people coming to your games. That's the conference you should be in.
Yeah, you want the boosters to get money at the concession stand and all of that.
And the thing I like about the track schedules in every sport, you get a home game against all those teams every, with the exception of football. You play home and home with everybody in every other sport. So you are going to play a home game with Rock Ridge every year, a home game with Sherrard and every year, a home game with Orion, a home game with Monmouth-Roseville every year. That's great.
All right. So we wrap up our high school basketball coverage in 2023, 2024, and we look to next fall for high school hoops, and my team to beat, and I'm sure it's Rock Ridge still the team to beat in the area,
yep.
I guess.
Until they aren't, which I guess Macomb would have something to say about that. But for our hyper-focused area, nobody beat the Rockets this year. And until somebody does, I'm not going to say that they're the favorite until somebody does that. And no one's done it yet. So the Rockets were our last team standing again this year. And I would say, again, on March the 2nd, 2024, my prediction is they will be the last team standing in 2025 for us. So I'm giving everybody bulletin board material. Prove me wrong, everybody.
All right. So next week, it looks like we'll be coming to you live from the State Farm Center at the state tournament. We'll have some coverage from down there and talk to hopefully a lot of different people.
Hopefully. Yeah, I hope so. Hopefully Matt Traugh gives us the key.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it was fun covering basketball this year. Like we said, Mercer County, Sherrard, Rock Ridge all had great years. A lot of memorable games for all three teams that we had on the air. I think about that Princeville game, when Mercer County was down 4 with like 40 seconds to go in overtime and came back and won. That was just a thrilling win. And you look at, like, you know, the two Rock Ridge Sherrard games were so fun with how anticipated they were. That great Rock Ridge Mercer County game, Rock Ridge Notre Dame. And then, you know, we were lucky. We got to do that Macomb Manual game. It's awesome.
Best
we have that in our archives. Yeah.
Well, and you look at I still think the Rock Ridge Macomb game at the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament Championship game. See, that's the only 9 o'clock game I like because you're playing for the championship.
Right.
That's a I love that getting to do that. We've had the opportunity to do that many years. And I just think next year the schedule is going to be great, high school hoops wise, because with some of these shootouts that have already been identified, then I love the fact the Eagles are headed to the Macomb Western Holiday Tournament next year. They'll get that experience. I think that's awesome.
Yep.
So really looking forward to that.
I'm excited too. Mercer County's like non-conference schedule is like, and that'll be different, you know, because basically like the thing with them now in basketball is like their non-conference is like they're kind of painted like you into a corner. They can't really do a whole lot because it's like you know, obviously there's all the local schools you got to play, and then like the Lincoln Trail, you know, I think it's like 15 or 16 games are blocked off with the conference tournament and then the conference games themselves. So there's a lot more like flexibility, I guess, for them to pick up different stuff they can try to do now. So I'm excited to see kind of how that all works out for them when we look at the schedule next winter for Mercer County. It's a new era.
And maybe they have some opportunity to play some of the Track East opponents.
Yeah. I think Kewaunee would be a nice team
and
to play
Sterling
every year.
We've had a nice relationship with them in football and other sports. All right, what do we have? Do we have anything coming up today? Could we have Cardinal baseball today? Or what do
Illinois.
We have who do the Illini play
Wisconsin
today?
At noon with an 11 a.m. pregame.
Oh, wow. And that'll be that's up at Kohl Center, right? And then tomorrow's the big final game in Iowa City for Caitlin Clark, and tickets are more than Taylor Swift tickets, I saw.
Are they really?
I think so. It's absolute bananas.
Awesome.
But,
anyway. What a career.
All right. And then a week from Monday, we can start playing baseball and softball games, March the 11th. And what a story we'll be following this year, a school going for four straight state titles. Man, that'll be amazing.
It'd be the first time ever. No one's ever won four state softball titles in a row. You probably know who we're talking about.
Yeah, and they open. And the Rockets and the Eagles open up the season in softball, right? I saw there were some indoor track events last night with some of our schools, so it's crazy how these seasons overlap, and we've transitioned to spring sports already. All right, Illini basketball coming up here with the Wisconsin Badgers from the Kohl Center. That'll do it for the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning. For Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor, WMJ Sports.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 614-0 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes. Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots. Office Specialists in Galesburg, Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.